And I heard another teaching yesterday. I was listening to Telio's teachings, and it says, you either enslave your flesh or your flesh enslaves you.
Amen.
It says every single day. And we have to look in the mirror to say, how are you going to get that faith that's out of you? We look in the mirror, and you're not going to want to be comfortable. And then you look at it and go, I'm going to crack you. I'm going to squeeze you like a nut or whatever this is. And look in the mirror and find what he did with me. I'm like, yeah! And I don't even want to know what my face looks like. It's got to be horrendous. But I got him out of me.
Yeah.
And then I got to witness to somebody after that. And that's not what the teaching's about. But for all of us, look in the mirror. How do we get that faith out of you? Look and don't see yourself as yourself. But act as if you're Christ looking at Donna going, how are we going to get this out of her?
Yeah.
That faith that's in there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That looks like a dry rot or almond or something. There's some juice in there. And whatever's in there, it belongs to you. And we're going to get this sucker. And he'll show you how to do it.
Yeah.
And that's where we're supposed to be here, to produce faith. It's up to Genesis chapter 17. And so this is a love story we're going to go over. Page 48. The marriage of Isaac, Rebekah. Some neat things that Dad's teaching last week, because what Dad taught him was things that were ruminating on my heart about Abraham and his story, and I'm going to get to go back to that. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 through 18. Because it's not page 48, it's right around there. 46. You can see in the beginning of chapter 17 that Abraham is, I think he's 90. He was 90 years old. He has Ishmael. Who named Ishmael?
Yahweh
did. Okay. And then later on, Yahweh pops up to Abraham and goes, Sarah's going to have a child. And Tim, would you read 17 and 18?
17:17?
Yeah.
And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, to be 100 years old shall a child be born, and shall even Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth? And Abraham said unto Yahweh, or unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee.
We'll stop there. I guess if we read, would you read 15 and 16 too, give a little context?
Sure. And Elohim said unto Abraham, for as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah is her name. And I will bless ye, moreover, will give from her to thee a son. And I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people from her shall arise.
What was Abraham's response? Well, one neat thing about the response is Yahweh changes Sarai's name. Immediately, how does Abraham respond? With her new name. That's faith. You just changed my wife's name. How long have they been married? Didn't say. But he's 90 years old. 90 minus 20. I've only been married here for 70 years. Can you imagine somebody changing Wendy's name? You shall now call her Susie. And immediately, well, Susie's not going to like that. Like, how quickly he just...
I never noticed that.
But what was Abraham's response to Yahweh's plan about kingdoms, kings of people? Kings of people from Sarah. What was his response?
Blessing.
Oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. What's that mean?
Worship.
Abraham thinks Ishmael's going to die. He's going to be a father of a multitude. I got a son. Yahweh named the son. Maybe, and then after this, he goes, the kingdoms are going to come from Sarai. Sarah, excuse me. And what does Ishmael say? Great idea. I'm glad you finally answered that prayer.
No, he's worried about Ishmael.
What he's showing is, this is not my plan. I have a plan. And what are you talking about? Is he on board immediately? No, he's like, this. What's going on here? This is not the direction I was going. And Abraham is the father of our faith. Has Yahweh ever given you a prophecy or he told you to do something different? You're like, But here's Abraham. He goes, how's this going to work? What, is Ishmael going to die? I thought Ishmael, it would appear that he thought Ishmael was going to be the seeds, and the seeds of seeds. But this was not Abraham's plan. The thing is, Abraham laughs in his heart. Sarah later on laughs too, and Yahweh corrects it. The laughter, but before this, it would have been his unbelief, possibly, maybe. Yahweh didn't say that, but he did laugh. Can I pick on a 90-year-old or a 100-year-old man? I'm 100 years old, I have a kid. Oh, you and your unbelief. But anyways, we're going to hold on to that, because the theme of this is Isaac was not Abraham's dream. Somebody else's dream. But Abraham got on board with that dream. So what happens after this? Abraham, you guys ever been a believer for a while? Have you ever been a believer? Have you ever had that feeling that, hey, I've given so much? Mm-hmm. I kind of had a feeling he was going to ask more of me. What? What are you talking about? I already led 3 people into speaking in tongues. I've been promised. I've been walking 6 miles a day. What do you mean you want me to walk 8? I'm going on strike. You guys ever had that feeling?
Yeah.
Do you realize what I'm doing? And you're going to do this? I'm thinking of my dad and his pro. I think all of us do. And all of a sudden he goes, you're right about here. I want you to be right here. And we look at him like a personal trainer. What, are you trying to kill me? And actually a good trainer, that's what they do. They train you. Then you hate their guts. And even when I'm training with Izzy and Elijah, we hate it. Hate's not a good word, but you really don't like that person. You're lifting weights and they go, 3 more, I'm not even lifting it! 3 more, I'm not even lifting it! And they go, if you're not lifting it, then why are you complaining? You just go through the motion. If I'm lifting it, why are you, but punch in the face! Then you get done, you're like, wow, that's good stuff. That's a good trainer, right? Here's Yahweh and Yehoshua doing the same thing with us. But what did he do with Abraham? Leave your home. I'm 75 years old. I'm going to go out in the wilderness with my wife. Oh, because we're such good fist fighters, right? We've got so much. All right, I'm going to go live in a tent. Easy pickings. Right? Okay, let's go, Sarah. Sarah, what are we going to be doing? And you just think about it. What a woman. Sarah. To follow her husband out there and do these things. And she's in the Hall of Fame of Faith. So they go. Now, if that was you or me, that would have been the pinnacle of our ministry. I walked away from everything like Heidi Baker. I went to Mozambique. But was Yahweh finished with that?
No.
What goes on through this story? Abraham has to go to war. He starts all these things happening. People, you know, he hears Lot's taken captive. He's going to war. He's doing these things. Oh, my goodness. And he still doesn't have any child. So he marries. Abraham loves Sarah, and he had to have sex with her concubine. How do you think that made him feel? Do you think he'd be uncomfortable having to have sex with Tim's friend? So you have a kid? But they did. Okay, is that upping your faith? Yes. Okay, uncomfortable, a little weird the next night sitting around the campfire eating. Awkward, possibly. It was different then. But then where is Yahweh? Gets to this point. He's 100 years old. Sarah, in my opinion, is ripe for the pickings. What? Sarah's ripe. Sarah's ready. What? She's ready. She's 90 years old. Perfect. Sarah's ready. And also my father did in the teaching also that he believes that this was Abraham was ready too, because Abraham could have kids before this, and then all of a sudden he goes, hey, not working, man. I've been on strike for a long time. I'm 100 years old. But it didn't work. They're perfect and they're ready. What happens next? They get pregnant. And so can you imagine Sarah and Abraham laughing after having a sexual intercourse? And then do you think they've been stressed out a little bit about having a baby? Oh, it's your first time getting pregnant? How old are you? I'm 90. You know, a lot of women died during childbirth back then. You guys know that, right? She's only 90. Grandma Mary giving birth, right? But they had the baby. What happened over the next couple years? The miracle child is being raised. And in the back of the mind, could you imagine Abraham fighting to keep his son from falling down? Fighting to make sure his son was not being picked on? Fighting to make sure his son stood up for himself. You're a king. You're a son of Elohim. He wouldn't have said that. But later on, Abraham is called like a prince of Elohim. And he would have been raising his son. Don't act like the servants. Do this, do this. And you think there's a neat relationship? How about Sarah? And then they're thinking Yahweh's dream, Yahweh's promise. Father of a multitude. Kings are going to come from this kid. Neat stuff, right? She's 90 years old. She's 100 years old. How old are you? Happy birthday, Mom. He's 10. Happy birthday, Mom. Spankings. Oh, I'm 100 years old. Get over here, kid. And then she's doing homeschool. The 15-year-old. She's 115. Neat story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's the father looking. Now Isaac, excuse me, is now 17, 18 years old. What's happening in Oriental times? Time to get married, son. I don't have a whole lot of time left. I'm 115, possibly. I don't know what's going on. But you think you'd be running out of time if you're 110? Mom, I'm 110, Mom. You gotta start having some kids. Isaac is 20 years old. Is he married? 25. At age right around 30, what does Yahweh do? Hey, Abraham, since you've done such a good job, hey, you're in the union. You don't have to produce any more faith. No. Hey, Abraham, I need you to go up this hill and sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham believed in the first resurrection. That Yahweh was going to have to resurrect Isaac. Isaac was about 30 years old. Isaac laid his life down for his father in the hope of a resurrection. Yahweh gave him a substitute sacrifice. But Yahweh was able to use that story for thousands and thousands of years till one day, 4,000, 3,000 years later, a little Jewish boy with a tallit over his head was reading a story about a son carrying the wood up a mountain, lay his life down for his father, his 120-year-old father. He's 30 in the hope of a resurrection. What do you think that did to Jesus Christ when he was a little kid? That gave him goosebumps? Who is this guy? Then Yahweh would have been able to communicate to Isaac, to say, Isaac, or Yehoshua, Jesus, his real name, Yehoshua, if you fulfill your course, you will wake up Abraham and meet him yourself. Me? You're going to wake him up? What about this Isaac guy? What kind of guy would do that? A 120-year-old man, a 30-year-old. Oh my goodness, here's Yehoshua imagining. Wow! And your ministry is to bring them back. You get to meet them. That's your job. Wow. And then you can imagine as we go back to Abraham and Sarah, what do you think dinner was like after that resurrection of Isaac? After Mount Moriah, we believe we were on. Do you think dinner was neat?
Yeah.
How about when Abraham and Isaac rehearsed to Sarah? What happened? What do you think happened? Was Sarah righteous? Yes. Did she have Holy Spirit? Don't necessarily know, but we know that when people witness to us and it bears witness, we get goosebumps and we go, oh, it's making sense. Would that have been a neat? Yeah. How about for the next 3 or 4 weeks after that resurrection? How neat would that have been? Mm. Wow. But TikTok, is Isaac married?
Mm-hmm.
No. Ishmael's having kids. Sarah didn't like the Moabites and some of these women he's married. Ishmael's going one direction. Isaac, what are you doing, Isaac? How about these grandbabies? What are these grandbabies? And we're sitting there, and what do you think is going on in Isaac's heart? 40 years old. 39 years old. And in the background, here's Abraham going, do you think they would have been stressed out a little bit? Or do you think they had to confront it? Would you?
Yeah.
You're 40 years old. I'm 120. He's 160, or 160, right around there, less than 140 maybe. And then what would happen is we'd go back, as Abraham would go out, and Yahweh would say, look at the stars in the sky, Abraham. And that was the word. The word was first in the stars. Abraham had to separate himself from the anxiety, separate himself from his understanding. And do you think Abraham and Sarah looking at that kid, that 40-year-old, that 35-year-old, going, we just want him to have the best life and best wife ever. Do you think Abraham and Sarah had prayers about the wife of Isaac? Do you think they had a vested interest on who he picked?
Yeah.
They saw Ishmael and his wives. They saw the land of Canaan where they left. They saw how wicked it is. How many people here know that who you marry can either make or break your calling in Christ? Yeah. Do you think they're praying for his wife? Absolutely. And then you're sitting there going to go, and then here's Abraham and Sarah going on a walk by themselves. Man, this is an old couple. Honey, what's going on? Why are you so crabby? And Sarah looks and goes, where's his wife? I want to grab babies. We had a promise. Kingdoms are going to come. We had a promise. And then they would have sat down there and as they witnessed and as they vented, Abraham would have said, wait a minute, time out. Isaac's not even our problem. Isaac wasn't even our dream. It's his dream. He can take care of it. What about this running out of time? I'm 170 years old. I'm tired of running out of time. I'm tired of that thing. Or 150, whatever age he was. But then I go back and go, wait a minute, this wasn't even our plan in the first place. Why are we worried about running out of time on his plan? It's his plan. Get back. Be it according to thy word. And they would have stepped back possibly. But then we go down to Genesis chapter 24, and we'll fast forward all these times. 40 years have passed now. And you see, Genesis chapter 24, let me see, there it is. It's hidden at the very bottom, page of 52. And if you read chapter 23, right above the line, read that 33, right beside to the right of that.
You mean the 34 thing?
It says 33, right above 23. It's the chapter 23.
Oh.
Just read above.
The death of Sarah and her burial in Machpelah.
Sarah dies. Does she ever meet her daughter-in-law?
No.
Nope. Does she ever see the grandbabies? Nope. Look what Rotheram did in verse 2. And Sarai died in Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to, what's the next word?
Well.
Well. I'll have to look up that Hebrew word. What's going on here? He went to wail and to weep for her. He did two different things. Do you think he might have been a little disappointed? She never got to see her grandbabies. She never got to see the wedding. You think he would have been hurt a little bit? Uncomfortable? A little disappointed? A little confused? A little bit? But then he had to step back and go, Romans 4:20 says, that what he hath promised, able is he to perform. That's what Abraham did. Romans 4:20. That what he hath promised, able is he to perform. He said, not becoming weak in his faith, but receive power by his faith. And here's Abraham. This is his dream. You got it. So what happens next? What about Isaac? Isaac was a miracle child. Perfect in a lot of different areas. We don't know a whole lot about his life, except he laid his life down for his father. Oh, just that.
Yeah.
What's the pinnacle of my life? College football or whatever it is. Gonna go, I didn't ever lay my life down like he did for my father's sake. You're gonna follow his eyes. He said, Dad, you kill me, I'm gonna take care of him. But whatever. Now we go over this and we're gonna go up to, and I'll have to have you guys read chapter 24 because that's actually what we're gonna be reading about. Now we have the whole story, the promised Sarah's gonna have the child, it's gonna be Sarah, kings are gonna come. Isaac, the sands of the seashore are going to come through Isaac, and they're trying to figure this whole thing out. Sarah now goes to sleep. Abraham is a widow. Here's his son, 40 years old, not married. And chapter 24, verse 1. Mom, why don't you start when you're done, to Melania, then Tim.
Now, Abraham was old, far gone in days, and Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said unto his servant, elder of his hosts, rulers of all that he had, place, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, that I may put thee on oath by Yahweh, God of the heavens, or Elohim of the heavens, and Elohim of the earth, that thou wilt not take a wife for my son from among the daughters of the Canaanites, in the midst of whom I am dwelling, but unto mine own land and unto mine own kindred wilt go. So shalt thou take a wife for my son for Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman may not be willing to follow me into this land. May I take back thy son into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou do not take back my son thither. Yahweh Elohim of the heavens and Elohim of the earth, who took me out of the house of my father and out of the land of my kindred, and who spake to me and who sware to me, saying, to thy seed will I give this land. He will send his messenger before thee. So shalt thou take a wife for my son from thence. Mel?
But if unwilling be the woman to follow thee, then shalt thou be clear from this my oath. Only my son shalt thou not take back thither. So the servant placed his hand under his thigh of Abraham, his lord, and swear unto him over this thing. Then took the servant 10 camels from among the camels of his lord, and went his way, all the goods of his master being in his hands. So he mounted and went his way unto Mesopotamia, near the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city against the well of water. At the time of evening, at the time coming forth, the woman that drew the water in...
We'll pause there right now. Yahweh does not say which servant this is. A lot of people believe this is Eleazar, but Yahweh doesn't say. So, that were Yahweh's sign, we should remain silent. Yahweh didn't say who this one is. But let's just put this guy's turban on for a second. No pressure, right? Who's your master? Abraham. Has this servant seen what bad women possibly were like? We know that through the scriptures that Ishmael was married, and it sounded like he had a wild... and you can imagine, hey, I want you to go... What if my dad told you, Melania, go find a wife for Aaron? And you sit there and you're like, oh, great, well, wait a minute. What if I picked the wrong one? They'd be pointing fingers at me for the next 15 years. What if she's crazy? And then what about this servant? Who is he being asked to do this for? This is about a miracle child. This is a birth, Isaac. This isn't a normal. This isn't a regular. This is a prince. And how righteous is Abraham? What does Abraham deserve? And now all this is on you. Go find. But Abraham did say Yahweh will send his messenger, and Abraham also said you will not take from the Canaanites. He's single. Why is he single? We'll get to see these things. And so no pressure on this guy, right? Just go get a wife and don't mess up. Okay, verse 12.
Then he said, O Yahweh Elohim of my Lord Abraham, I pray thee cause it to fall out before me to the day thou deal and hast said with my Lord Abraham. Here am I stationed by the fountain of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming forth to draw water. So it shall come to pass that the young woman unto whom I say, let down, pray, thy pitcher, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and to thy camels also will I give drink. That her hast thou appointed for thy servant, for Isaac, and hereby shall I get to know that thou hast dealt in hased with my Lord.
So what does he say? Yahweh doesn't tell him how to do this. Does he know how to do it? No. He has to start the plan. You get started. And he says, Yahweh, the woman that I say, so what is this guy going to have to do? Would you want to pick? No, I wouldn't want to pick. You just tell me which one to pick. Right? But no, he had to produce the faith. And he's going to do the same thing with you and I. He's going to say, you pick. I don't want to pick. There's a lot on the line here. I don't want to pick. Man, if mom and dad told me to go find a wife for Izzy, I'd be so stressed out. Oh, no, I don't want to pick her. How about I just get it that he picks? No, you pick. No pressure, right? But he said the ones that I do pick, so he's going to pick. And she's going to give me this confirmation back. So what is this guy going to do? He's getting ready to live like an Elohim. He's going to go walk. This is supernatural stuff. And if this guy's a servant of Abraham, he's probably seen this manifested a lot. I got to go act like an Elohim now. How are we going to do this? Who is she going to be like? Who are we going to pick? What is she going to look like? This and that. We're going to find out. What does he do? Okay, go ahead and read. 15.
And it came to pass, ere he had done
speaking
that, lo, Rebecca is coming out forth. Pete was in my place. Who had been born to
Bethuel.
So
Tim, you want to take over?
Mm-hmm. Son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, brother of Abraham, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Now the young woman was very pleasing in appearance, a virgin whom no man had known, and she went down under the fountains and filled her pitcher and came up.
Can pause there for a second. What does she look like?
She's hot.
Who cares? I'm not asking a rhetorical question. Who cares what she looked like?
Yahweh did.
The author of the book.
Yeah.
He picked a hottie. Well, he's 40 years old. He hasn't looked in a mirror very often. I don't know. He doesn't know how to really dance. He's got corny jokes he only gets. Let's find somebody that's right around him now. He went and picked the princess. The best. Did he know who her family was? No. But as this servant walked out in faith, watch what's going to happen. And he didn't know we were going to hear about what he got to do. Okay? And if he's not Eleazar, he's going to have a lot to say to the people that say this was Eleazar. You said that was me. Well, it didn't say what he... Well, you were supposed to find out when the resurrection did, but whoever this guy was, we don't know who he was. Who does he pick? He picks the hottie. How old's Abraham?
150.
Okay, so how old's Isaac?
40.
40. So, how old is this girl? We don't know. But she's a virgin. What does she look like?
Very hot.
She's hot. Okay, she's beautiful. Okay, so usually people that are beautiful and virgins are not going to be old. You get married off. You got lots of options or something. Now, the scriptures don't say how old she is. The only person that we know the age is Sarah. That's from John Shanahan. But, okay, she's beautiful. She's young. And you can imagine his heart. He's thinking, do it. Just do it afraid. Do it afraid. So here he's going to go into it. Okay, keep reading.
17.
Yeah.
And the servant ran to meet her and said, I pray thee, let me drink a little water out of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and lowered her pitcher on her hand and let him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, for thy camels also will I draw until they have done drinking. So she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the drinking trough and ran again unto the well to draw, and she drew for all the camels. Now the man was eagerly watching her, keeping silence to see whether Yahweh had prospered his way or not.
You can imagine, here's this guy, what did he pick? It would appear he picked the most beautiful, who was the first. Hey, if it didn't work with her, there's more coming, right? But the first one you pick, she starts watering the camels. What do you think is going on inside of his heart? Could it be? Could it be? Could it be? Can you imagine his excitement? Is it really going to be this easy? It can't be this easy. Who is she? Maybe she's crazy. Maybe she comes from a bad family. Maybe you can imagine. Whatever, that's what would be going through my mind. He's sitting. Could this be? Could this be? Could this be? Okay? Go back and read.
22. And it came to pass, when the camels had done drinking, that the man took a ring of gold, half a shekel its weight, and two bracelets for her hands, 10 of gold their weight, and said, whose daughter art thou?
Does he know who she is yet? Who is he sent to go find? A daughter of who?
Abraham. Oh.
His own place.
His own people.
Yeah.
Okay. And so here he is walking out on faith again. He's giving this gold. After he gives the gold, or he gives the paragraph Bible says these nose rings and very, very valuable jewelry. He goes, what family are you from? Okay? He doesn't know.
I pray thee, tell me, is there in the house of thy father a place for us to tarry the night? 24. And she said unto him, daughter of Bethuel am I, Bethuel son of Milcah, whom she bare to Nahor. And she...
Go ahead. Imagine him just getting covered with goosebumps.
Yeah.
Just gone. This is it. This is it. Okay?
And 25, and she said unto him, both straw and fodder in plenty have we, also a place to tarry the night. Then the man bowed his head and bent himself down unto Yahweh and said, yeah. Blessed be Yahweh, Elohim of my Lord Abraham, who hath not withdrawn his hesed and his faithfulness from my Lord. I, being in the way, Yahweh led me unto the house of the brethren of my Lord.
So you can imagine him dropping down. My first prophecy in a couple times in my life, there was no holding back. Tears, snot, and going to go. And all of a sudden, here, I can imagine him just, boom, going right to Yahweh, going, there's no explanation. Thank you, Yahweh, for your hesed. Here I am. Here is you blessed me, and you remembered your hesed. And what's Rebecca doing? She's first, she's like, what's that? Whoa, what are you doing? Here's this guy's dad speaking to Yahweh. If it would have been me, I've been crying and babbling or whatever. What's going on in her mind, her heart? What's going on here? Okay, all right.
28, and the young woman ran and told the household of her mother, according to these words. Now, Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. So Laban ran unto the man outside of under the fountain, and it came to pass, when he saw the ring and the bracelets on the hands of his sister, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "Thus did the man speak unto me," that he came unto the man, and lo, he was standing by the camels near the fountain.
Let me pause it for just a second. You can imagine, using our imaginations with this, I can imagine just the overwhelming joy, those moments. Dad and I, we went to this pray for 72 hours for our nation. This repetitive music over and over again. We're praying. All of a sudden, walls breaking down in my heart. Emotions and things. This is that secret place that all of us can have. He falls down and has one of those moments and says, "She ran." So use your imagination. It appeared he's worshiping, which means bow down, honoring, adoring Yahweh, because he's getting to be a part of this. If you guys ever got to give a prophecy to somebody and you get done and you're like, "I got to be a part of that." She's like, "I got to tell somebody." She gets up, she takes off. She's got all this jewelry. She goes and sees her brother. He's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what's going on here? Where's the camels or where's the sheep you had and this and that? Where's this jewelry? This guy came, he did this, and he said he's from Abraham, and he said Yahweh." Can you imagine? Yeah, he's the same God, Yahweh. Look at this. And he said that the angel said, and this, and there he is. And here's Laban going, what does he do? He takes off and runs. Make sure he's going to stay there. Let's go see this thing. It makes me think of, what was that? Samson's parents? When the messenger came and says, "You're going to have a son." And then she goes and tells her husband. She goes, "Oh, where's the guy? I'll bring him back. Bring him back. I've got to feed him." So here comes Laban. And if Laban is living in a wicked area, do you think they'd be excited about seeing some other believers? Especially if a miracle just happened or something? Here's the excitement. Where they go? He's going to run back. Who is this guy? Let's find out what's happening. Okay?
31. And he said, Laban, and he said, "Come in, thou blessed of Yahweh. Wherefore shouldest thou stand outside when I have made ready the house and the place for the camels?" So the man came in. Sorry, let me get this position so I can see it. So the man came in towards the house and ungirdled the camels, and there was given him straw and fodder for the camels and water for bathing his own feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And the food was set before them to eat, but he said, "I cannot eat until I have spoken my words." And he said, "Speak." Then said he, "Servant of Abraham am I. Now Yahweh, having blessed my Lord exceedingly and made him great and given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and manservants and maidservants and camels and asses, then did Sarah, wife of my Lord, bear a son to my Lord after she had become old. So he gave to him all that he had. And my Lord put me on oath, saying, 'Thou shalt not take a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I am dwelling, but unto the house of my father shalt thou go, and unto my family, and take a wife for my son.'"
We'll pause for just a second there. You can imagine who's hearing this. Laban's hearing this, right? Mm-hmm. Rebecca's hearing this. And you go, okay, wait a minute. Let's just act like we're from their house for a second. Melania, what is Pop? What was my dad's name?
Pops.
You ever met him?
No.
Heard about him?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you heard about him. How long ago was his time period? Long time ago, when you're 13, right?
Yeah.
He was born in 1918. He would be 100 years old today. Okay. So all they're sitting around, they have formalities or something, and I goes, "I'm not doing anything until I tell you what's happening." And he goes, "Abraham and Sarah had a child." What does this have to do with the guy that wants to marry Rebecca, right? Because they're thinking, you can imagine somebody comes to you and says, "Pops' brother sent me to you." No, Abraham's brother died 100 years ago, man. 80 years ago. You mean this guy's still alive? Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah, he's still alive. How old is he? 160. The guy who's living in a tent is 160 years old. Yeah. Oh, and he had a kid. Well, how old is this guy? His dad's 160. Was he 140? No, he's 40. Can you imagine trying to wrap your mind around this story? Abraham's still alive. This is like great-grandfather's type stuff. How about Granddad Hill? No, Granddad Hill's sister, she's still alive. Mm-hmm. What? I thought they died. And here's granddad, our great-grandfather. No, she's still alive, and she sent us here to pick you up. We were sitting there going, wait a minute. We got to do some math here for a second. So that's what's going on here. And okay, now, go.
Okay. 39.
Yes, please.
So I said unto my Lord, Preventure, the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, Yahweh before whom I have walked to and fro and sent his messenger with thee, so shall he prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son out of my kindred and out of my house, out of the house of my father. Then shalt thou clear thyself from mine oath, for thou shalt go in unto my kindred, and if they will not grant her unto thee, then shalt thou be clear from mine oath. So I came in today unto the fountain, and I said, O Yahweh, Elohim of my Lord Abraham, if I pray thee, thou art prospering my way, wherefore, whereon I am going, here am I, stationed by the fountain of water. So then it shall come to pass that the maiden that is coming forth to draw, and I shall say unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee, a little water out of thy pitcher. And she shall say unto me, Both thou drink, and for thy camels also will I draw the same. Shall be the woman whom Yahweh hath appointed for the son of my Lord. Ere yet I could make an end of the speaking unto mine own heart, lo, then Rebekah coming forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to draw the fountain and drew, and I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. So she hastened and lowered her pitcher from off her and said, Drink, and to thy camels will I give to drink. So I drank, and the camels also she let drink. Then I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, Daughter of Bethel, I, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bare to him. Then put I the ring upon her nose and on the bracelets upon her hands, and bowed my head and bent myself down unto Yahweh. And I bless Yahweh, Elohim of my Lord Abraham, who had led me in a way of faithfulness to take the daughter of the brother of my Lord for his son. Now therefore, if ye are dealing in chesed and faithfulness with my Lord, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn unto the right hand or unto the left. Then answered Laban and Bethel and said, From Yahweh hath come forth the word, We cannot speak unto thee ill or well. Lo, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go thy way, and let her become wife unto the son of thy Lord, as Yahweh hath spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he bowed himself down towards the earth unto Yahweh.
Again, what did he do? Even though he's in public again, what did he do? He got down on his head. We should be doing the same things. Then when Yahweh has those moments in our life, I don't care who's in the room, Yahweh's in the room. And if President Trump were to walk in, I'd stand up. And when Yahweh and these things, and we get to be a part of these things, if we want to continue to be a part of these things, we need to show reverence. To drop down on our hands and our knees and go, Yeah, who am I? Have you ever got those moments? You got to do something and you go back to your room and you're weeping, you're uncomfortable? Because who am I to deliver these messages? And what this guy did over and over again is he would drop down to give honor to Yahweh. And that's what worship means, is to bow down. Here he is. And he tells this whole story. We're almost finished with this part. We're going to pick up reading. If Mom wants to take over, we can keep reading. He's telling the story to them. And Abraham says, you find it right here, you will go to my family, my kindred. How long has Abraham been out of this city? How long have you guys been out of Fort Walton? 15 years? Okay, might be kind of hard running and finding people you used to hang with, right? Well, they're in his area. How long has Abraham not been in the city? He left when he was 75, he's 160. Go find my family. So he's telling this story, and we didn't know he was supposed to go to the family until we read right here. And then he goes, and then he tells the story that the girl that I pick, and he says, before I could finish saying, Rebekah came. Can you imagine the goosebumps and the chills in the back of Laban? And I can imagine them getting confirmation, but then in the back of their mind, this guy's, or he's a really good salesman, a liar. What are the odds, right? You guys ever had that? And the neat thing, when Yahweh does something great, there's always room for faith. Now, some people would say there's always room for doubt. No, I just want you to come in. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. Yeah, come in and heal somebody. It's indisputable, right? And Yahweh says, you mean so there's no room for faith? Kind of a problem. So when he does do healing or do miracles, there's always room for, not doubt, faith. And you're going to hear a story, you're going to hear a testimony, you're going to go, And then what you do when you start doing this, you should go back and say, how much doubt are we actually dealing with here? How much doubt is in this guy when I teeter like this all the time? I don't know. And we go, are these guys charlatans? Could be, right? Or am I the problem and I'm not ready to receive any testimony? Yeah. I don't believe in it. I don't believe it unless you validate it. There's no room for faith with that. But what happens here? I don't know what's going on with Laban in this story. But they're telling this whole story. He falls down again and he's gone. If I was this servant, do you know where I would want to be? At the feet of Abraham. I got to go back. I got to tell him what happened. Wouldn't you want to go back to tell? Yeah. And here he is. I got to get out of here. At least that's me. What's going to happen next? And it would appear this little, well, I don't know. That's really close. 53. Thank you. You want mom to take over?
Sure.
Then the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave unto Rebekah, and precious things gave he to her brother and to her mother. And they did eat and drink, he and the men who were with him. And they tarried the night. When they rose in the morning, he said, let me go unto my lord. Then said her brother and mother, let the young woman remain with us some days, or rather 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, do not hinder me when Yahweh hath prospered my journey. Let me go that I may take my journey unto my lord. Then said they, we must call the young woman and ask at her mouth.
Can you imagine these people? These come to town. It's a neat testimony, but you're talking about taking Rebecca now?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, she hasn't even cleaned her room. How old is Rebecca? I don't know. 16, 17, 18, 20? How are beautiful virgins? I don't know. And then you go, oh, you just want to leave right now. We can't sleep on it. You go, I want to go back. And then they go, okay. And you can not to pick on Laban. How would you do? What if somebody came in and said, hey, we're here to get Melania? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, here's this whole thing. And so you can imagine, here's a girl. How old is she? I don't know. But I have a feeling that she was young. I have a strong, and I could
She's
be wrong.
She's called a young woman here.
How old is she? 18, 19, 20? She's gorgeous. Does she have options? She's got options. And here he is, and they're going to go bring in Rebecca. Let's figure out what is she going to do. If this was you, what would you do? I need more like 6 months. This is a wedding. We got to plan this. I got to meet this guy. Does he pick his nose? Chew with his mouth open? We got to talk about this stuff, right? What is this girl Rebecca going to do? Okay, no, go ahead.
So they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go.
I'm going to stop right there. I will go. I will go. What do you think Rebecca was doing in another room? In her tent?
Wedding?
I bet you she was on her hands and her knees talking to Yahweh. Is this you? Is this the God of my fathers? Are you sending me to go do something? Is this you? The God of my fathers is coming? This is my mission? This is like Noah? Can you imagine her? I heard about Noah. Wow, could this be my mission? We don't know. But we're going to keep our finger there. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. What kind of woman comes right back and they go, will you go? He wants to go right now. She goes, I will go. Can you imagine the shock on their face? The shock on my face. Hey, Rebecca, you got a lot of options here. There's a lot of guys around here. You can stay close to home. You know, we can swap Thanksgiving and Christmas. You don't have to go all the way out there. We'll see you. There's no FaceTime. There's a lot of guys around here. You're good looking. You might want to think about your options, right? I will go. Reminds me of another woman, another young woman. And when a messenger showed up out of nowhere, Hail Mary. Remember that messenger? Remember that girl? Her name's Miriam. How old is she? Not married yet. She's betrothed, though. And she says, and when the messenger says, you're the seed. Malai, why don't you read? Let me see here. Why don't you start 30. Read 30. And keep reading. Start at verse 30.
All right. And the messenger said unto her, do not fear, Mary, for thou hast found favor with Yahweh. And lo, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yahushua. The same shall be great, and the Son of the Most High shall he be called, and the Lord Yahushua, the Lord Yahweh will give unto him the throne of David his father. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob unto the ages, and of his kingdom this shall be no end. But Mary said unto the messenger, how shall this thing be, seeing that a man I know not? And answering, the messenger said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore, even which it is to be born, holy shall be called Son of Elohim. And lo, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, even she hath conceived son in her old age, and this month is the sixth to her, and the so-called barren one, because no...
We'll pause right there. We're going to come right back to this. She was given a sign. This young woman was given a sign. What was her sign? Elizabeth got pregnant. What was Rebecca's sign? Sarah got pregnant. Sarah? The great-great-great-great-great-aunt got pregnant. Yeah. What's the sign? Her son wants to marry her. And she has a sign. Elizabeth is pregnant. What? What was the promise to reverse the curse of the ground? What did Yahweh say in Genesis? The seed of the woman's going to come. And Yahweh told Abraham that you are going to reverse this curse. Rebecca should have known about the Messiah coming. Right?
Right.
Do you think Noah taught people about the Messiah is going to come to fix all this? And here's Rebecca hearing the testimony going, the Messiah is coming. The Messiah has got to come. The Messiah is coming. And then she hears the testimony, similar to like this young maid right here. And who's the Messiah going to come from, Rebecca?
You.
Me? You. That's not what the scripture says. But sure does make a lot of sense now, doesn't it? I'm going to be the one. Then go ahead and read verse 37, and then we'll read her response.
Because no declaration from Yahweh shall be void of power. And Mary said, lo, the handmaid of thy Lord, may it come to pass unto me according to thy declaration. And the messenger departed.
He left. Job's done. Who else had this kind of faith? Go back to Genesis. Rebecca. Who had that kind of faith? Rebecca. What kind of woman was Rebecca? What kind of woman was that? And then we'll find out later on the reason why Jacob had to lie to his father Isaac is because Isaac was going to blow it. Yahweh said, two kingdoms are inside you. The older shall serve the younger. Here this is. It's a miracle baby. They couldn't get pregnant. And it was Rebecca that says, Jacob, you're going to have to lie to your dad. He's about ready to really blow it and mess it up with Yahweh. Yahweh's the one that gave us these kids. He's going to blow it. It was Rebecca's faith, Rebecca's faith, Rebecca's faith. And here she is. She goes, I will go. Just like Miriam did. What kind of faith is that? Now, I'm going to digress for just a second before we read this next part. And this is from E.W. Bullinger's Bible. And E.W. Bullinger's notes on this says, at this time, Isaac's mother died. The only righteous woman that Isaac really knew. As far as we know, there could have been other ones that are righteous, but who's more righteous than Abraham's wife? Who's going to replace Sarah? Right? I can imagine mom and dad, like, who's going to replace you guys and your God? Huh? You think there'd be a void? Do you think Isaac was missing a matriarch, some sort of woman? And E.W. Bulger says, at this point, we're going to read, here's what he says is happening. He says, at this point, Isaac did not know that Abraham sent for a wife. And we're going to read the next part. It's going to say that Isaac goes out in the field to meditate. And E.W. Bulger believes Isaac was out there mourning the loss of his mother, praying. And it was at the evening, too, so that's important. What is Isaac doing? Praying. What is Isaac thinking? I'm 40 years old. There's no kids. There's no chicks. There's no online dating. There's no Match.com. There's no eHarmony.
No Tinder.
There's no Facebook. There's no malls. There's no dance clubs. How are kids going to come for me? Mom, man, Yahweh, I really thought Mom was going to get to see my kids. I really thought Mom was going to get to meet my wife, possibly, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to meet him? Meet her? And as he is out there meditating, this is E.W. Bulger's notes. He says he's meditating. He looks low. A caravan of camels. Mm. How many camels?
10.
Very good. 10. What did the caravans bring?
Why?
Trade. They bring trade.
Oh, yeah.
What's coming in? Hey, what's coming in? You ever see when people come in with groceries? What do you got? Oh, vegetables again? What, toilet paper? Okay, good stuff. Here's Isaac going, I wonder what they got. And as Isaac goes walking towards a caravan, this girl looks and goes, who's the guy coming? And he goes, that is the son of my master. Rebecca, the young Miriam, in my opinion, the woman of faith, covers her face. Why? She's preparing for what? Her marriage. Just like Miriam, Jesus Christ's mother. I'm going to get pregnant and I'm getting married. And she looks, Abraham, you can imagine Isaac comes up, hey, where's all this stuff? They just unloaded a bunch of stuff, right? You're supposed to train. What's going on here, servant of my father? Whoa, who's that? Hey, who are you? Who's that? Isaac, comb your hair. Now imagine this, that night. The servant, and if I was a servant, I would say, Isaac will explain on the way. I got to talk to Abraham. What's going on? We're walking, you walk with us. We went to go to his, can you imagine Isaac hearing the testimony? Is that romantic? Is that neat? Mm-hmm. What do you think is going through Rebecca's heart? Do you think she ever heard of Abraham?
Yeah.
Her family?
Yeah.
The forefathers, the people that still worship Yahweh? What do you think she's thinking about the promised seed, about the son of the seed of the woman, the Messiah, Christ, the Redeemer coming? I'm getting ready to get married. You want to talk about some exciting? You ever went on a last second vacation? We're going now. Now? Go now. Go now. What's going on with all those things? Now imagine the meeting of Abraham coming back, looking. And Abraham, maybe he's having runners go out. Remember with Elijah? He sent out and said, hey, the woman's coming on a donkey. Go see if all is well. Go find what's going on. Do you think Abraham would have runners?
Mm-hmm.
I would have. Go see if there's a girl. What does she look like? Runners come back and say, there's a hottie, and Isaac is glowing. What do you think dinner would have been like that night? It's evening. They're going to eat dinner. Go kill a fatty calf! Go kill something! Music! 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 How long has Abraham been waiting for this? 40 years of Isaac. Before then, 75 years. How long have you been waiting for this marriage? And then that night, can you imagine them sitting around? And then here comes the servant telling his testimony. Isaac's hearing this. What do you think their hearts felt like? They were probably mourning with Sarah dying, right? Going to sleep. Mm-hmm. They would have been sad. But then all of a sudden, then Rebecca gets her chance. Here's Abraham. Go, tell me about my family. What's going on? Mm-hmm. You guys still getting together for Thanksgiving? Still cooking turkey? And then she would have said, oh, Nahor did this, and then Laban does this. Who's Laban? Okay, well, how about so-and-so? They did this. Well, hey, is anybody worshiping Yahweh? Nah, things got real bad. And then they say, well, what did you think? Now, I don't know if they would have been talking like that, but I can imagine in our situation. But can you imagine Rebecca getting her chance to say her side of the story? She gets to hear their side of the story, and they go, what were you thinking? She goes, man, I didn't know what to think. What kind of reunion would that have been? We can read the rest. Now, verse 30-59. So they let Rebekah, their sister, and nurse, and Abraham's servant, and men, and they blessed Rebekah, said to her, our sister, become thou thousands of 10,000s. That confirmation? Sure looks like it, right? Father of a multitude. And let thy seed take possession of the gate of them that hate thee. That sounds a lot like the prophecy of Sarah, too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Then mounted Rebekah and her young woman, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come at the entrance of Beer La-Roi, for he was dwelling in the land of the south. Okay, interesting. Isaac came forth to meditate in the field at the approach of evening. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, camels are coming. It's the caravan. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes and saw Isaac. And she alighted with haste from off the camel. And she said unto the servant, who is the man that is walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, that is my Lord. So she took the veil and covered herself. And the servant recounted to Isaac all the things which he had done. And Isaac brought into her unto the tent of Sarah, his mother. Thus he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac consoled himself for the loss of his mother. And I think that's why E.W. Bullinger believes he was out there mourning, possibly. And you got to go, we look at that and go, man, why wasn't Sarah at the wedding? Where's Sarah? Well, let's just go back to Sarah. What kind of woman was Sarah praying for? Believing Yahweh for? Because Sarah had faith to have this baby, right? Did she have a lot of faith?
Yeah.
What kind of faith do you think she was going to... What kind of woman does she want to take care of Isaac or to be there for him?
Like her.
Yeah. Could it be that if Rebecca's 18 years old, that she would have been too young before Sarah went to sleep? Would that make sense? She's 17 years old, 18, something like that. Sarah, you got 2 more years left? Maybe she was too tired. I don't know. But wouldn't that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Rebekah wasn't ready is what it looked like. Rebekah wasn't ready. Sarah was ready. And we get to see how all these things come back around and go, who was this Rebekah? What was this love story? Who was this servant? Because Yahweh doesn't tell us who the servant is. And then look at these testimonies and these promises. And this all goes back to Isaac was not Abraham's plan. Isaac was not Abraham's dream. But it'd be easy when we get to be a part of those things to say, golly, I have a lot to lose, to say that what Yahweh promised Abel is he also to perform. We go back to say it took 20 more years for Isaac to get pregnant. Isaac and Rebekah. 20 more years. Isaac had to wait. Abraham had to wait 20 more years for the grandkids. 65 years. Do you think he's going to regret that?
No.
And what happened with that, with those 20 years, what kind of children are they going to have? Miracle children again. Yahweh had a really good plan. And here it was, 65 years just to get the two. He got them. And you think you've been waiting a long time? I've been single for going on 9 years. Oh, Aaron, would you? Abraham waited 65 years. And as we look at these dreams, and we look at of Yahweh's dreams that they have in our lives, where it wasn't our dream anyways, to come here. You guys coming to Wichita. That was Yahweh's dream. Right?
Yeah.
Your jobs. Homeschooling. That wasn't your dream. Dad teaching the word, going into certain sales. That wasn't your dream. I don't know. You guys can, I mean, this is my perspective. I never wanted to teach the word. My dad told me I needed to. I didn't want to teach. I wanted to goof off. But here it was. And it was Yahweh's dream. And we come back to say, what dreams does he still have inside you? And are you going to give up? And how close are you to having a Rebekah pop up in your life? And Sarah, we don't know what necessarily happened, but one day they're going to get to look at all of that. And we look at what other births were like that. Isaac was Yahweh's dream. How about John the Baptist?
Yeah.
Okay? And then we look at these other things where when Yahweh proposed the dream and his business plan, people go, hey, that doesn't even make any kind of sense. Now, as we get ready to celebrate Yehoshua's birth, the birth of Jesus Christ, we believe it was Tishrei 1, September 11th, like 2 BC, right around there. Ask ourselves and ask yourself and say, let us go to Yahweh and say, impregnate me with another one of your dreams. On the birth, so many years ago, you impregnated Miriam. And she says, be it according to your word. Rebekah says, I will go. Now this year, I want to challenge me and all of us to say, get on your knees and say, impregnate me with another dream. And what a good gift to Yahweh and Jesus Christ at the celebration of their birth.
Amen.
So thank you, Father, I'll go ahead and close the word. And I'll give a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to go right into a prophecy. Never be fearful about the future. For when you take my hand, I go into the future before you and I prepare ways. And just as a great father that who's a great hunter will take your child out, but he's not going to do everything. He's not going to bait the hook. He's not going to reel the fish in. He's not going to net all the fish. He's going to make the kid work and earn these things. So do I go before you, and I want you to earn stuff. Your life is so short. It is so short. It is so short. One day you'll get to look at it and say, this is the life you had. And what did you do with it? How many chips did you invest? How much did you cash in? That is my dreams for you every single day. And I give you ideas and I give you hopes, but it's up to you to produce the faith. Choose to start erring on the side of faith. Address doubt in your life and look how many times when things pop up where you say, I don't know if that could be true. And come back to say, I'm going to start doing just the opposite. Now don't be a fool, but when it comes to my word, say all things are possible to him that believes. God bless you.
Hallelujah.